Public and private debt levels bulked among them. As Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan merged his massive interest rate reductions with the Bush administration's tax cuts, the American people responded as Washington hoped. John and Jane Q. Public borrowed money cheaply and spent it liberally. All five U.S. debt colossi, national, international, financial, corporate, and household, kept setting records. At some points, even their momentum alone set records. The underlying Washington strategy, which succeeded in stimulating the economy, was less to give ordinary Americans direct sums than to create a low interest rate boom in real estate, thereby raising the percentage of American home ownership, ballooning the prices of homes, and allowing householders to take out some of that increase through low-cost refinancing. This triple play created new wealth to take the place of that destroyed in the 2000 to 2002 stock market crash and simultaneously raised consumer confidence. But the benefits did not end there. The lowest interest rates in four decades. The Fed's overnight funds rate dropped to 2% in early 2002, hit 1% in 2003, and stayed in between through late 2004. Also revitalized stocks by 1, giving business cheap capital, 2, allowing debt-burdened corporations to refinance, and 3, motivating individual investors to buy stocks instead of leaving cash in money market accounts that paid negligible and even negative real interest. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, which had sunk from a peak of 11,700 in 2000 to 7,197 in 2002, regained some three-quarters of that loss by late 2005, although the shattered NASDAQ recovered only one-quarter or so of its huge collapse. As a result, $4 trillion of the $7 trillion shrinkage in stock valuation was regained, and rising home prices more than made up the difference. Nothing similar had ever been engineered before. Instead of a recovery orchestrated by Congress and the White House and aimed at the middle and bottom income segments, this one was directed by an appointed central banker, a man whose principal responsibility was to the banking system. His relief, targeted on financial assets and real estate, was principally achieved by monetary stimulus. This in itself confirmed the massive realignment of preferences and priorities within the American system. Such was Greenspan's success. But if debt expansion per se was one large gray cloud in the sky, the perception of a rebubbling of the economy was another. Nothing comparable had ever been tried. Critics such as Stephen Roach, Robert Shiller, and to an extent former Federal Reserve Board Chairman Paul Volcker argued in varying degrees that the effect of Fed policy was to inflate a new real estate and credit bubble on top of the older NASDAQ-centered froth. Roach, the chief economist at Morgan Stanley, described the Fed chairman as a serial bubble blower. By 2004, others spoke about an echo bubble or a double bubble, or even referred to Greenspan as chairman bubbles. The expansion of debt was huge, indisputable, and a topic of spirited national conversation. Likewise, huge and indisputable but almost never discussed were the powerful political economics lurking behind the stimulus. The massive rate-cut-driven post-2000 bailout of the FIRE sector, with its ever-climbing share of GDP and proximity to power. No longer would Washington concentrate stimulus on wages or public works employment. The Fed's policies, however shrewd, were not rooted in an abstraction of the national interest, but in pursuit of its statutory mandate to protect the U.S. banking and payment system, now inseparable from the broadly defined financial services sector. To this end, the 2001 to 2003 rate cuts extended a more than two-decade pattern, relentless under Greenspan, of slapping large green liquidity band-aids on any financial wound that might get infected. Large-scale peacetime government stimulus programs in the United States have always been partly political. The New Deal's elevation of labor unions, public works, and activist government in the 1930s, the unleashing by the Reagan administration of corporate and financial animal spirits in the 1980s. However, As The Economist suggested, the Bush-Greenspan package, as history's biggest, dwarfed both. It also represents a bet, probably a gamble against human nature, on both the debt management capacities of the Federal Reserve Board and the public-spiritedness of the financial services industry.